Hey, it's Tia, and you're listening to For the Love of Freelance. Today, we're joined by my co-host, LA Marks, Director of Collaboration at Freelancing Females, and the women of Weekend Creative and Per Our Last Email podcast. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, 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 freelancers. Welcome back to another episode, and this is going to be an awesome episode because we have the dynamic duo of Weekend Creative in the house as well, Elle and Arabella.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay, so you both have your own podcast. We're doing dueling podcasts, crossover episode.
Yes.
It's like DC, Marvel, universes collide. You know, I'm Ragnarok, obviously.
The multiverse?
Multiverse.
The podcast?
Tia is the hot girl from X-Men.
Of course.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
I don't know enough about you personally to know who you guys want to be. Who do you want to be in the freelancing realm?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
you relate to one superhero from a freelance perspective.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I know the superheroes well enough. Is that sad?
I know. Yeah, same.
What would be your superhero power as a freelance superhero? You could just make it up. You don't have to actually make a proper reference.
I feel so on the spot right now.
I know.
Yeah, that's what it's about here.
I feel like I'd love to teleport.
Yeah.
I want to teleport.
Yes.
No commute.
I would also love to, that's exactly why, get to places quick, but also I'd love to shapeshift. I feel like that would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because
then I could have all these powers, right?
Yeah.
If I turn into a bird, I can fly. If I turn into a whale, I could swim.
Kind of cheating, honestly.
I mean, but that's the best part.
I don't think I would actually want this power, but as a kid, I always wanted to read minds. But as an adult, I'm like, I don't know if I actually
I don't know.
But
you've learned
all of honesty. Like, you could not get away.
You would know how much people are actually lying to you.
Yes. Yes.
I would only take that if I knew that I could turn it on and off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little switch.
How useful would that be in a client meeting? If you could actually, you don't even have to listen to them. You just stare at them
and
you
can get there. You just know what they want. That would be amazing.
For once.
I mean, let's be honest, they think that we can read their mind already. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. So if I actually could, it would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Tia, what about you? What's your freelance superhero power?
I mean, I've always been the teleportation one too, because I just want to travel all over, but I don't want the commute of traveling all over the world. So if I could do that and just hop to a coffee shop in France and then like go take a dip in Croatia, I'd be a very happy camper with my life. But
oh my gosh,
isn't that kind of what a lot of us are working towards, is like fully remote? Maybe some people are nomads here. So some people already have that superpower.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, speaking of Croatia, one of my best friends, she's lives in Australia, but she is doing a whole 2 months of travel while she's working. So
that's incredible.
I think she's in Croatia right now, but she's just going around. And I'm like, that's amazing. I love that we can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so tell us what is going on with both of you. We want to hear the story of the inception of Weekend Creative to Per Our Last Email. What were the trials and tribulations that you hit along the way? Tell us everything.
Long story. Weekend Creative is almost 5 years old now.
Almost five. I can't believe it.
So crazy. So it was actually about 5 years ago now that we were working at a magazine.
Yeah.
Shooting like more fashion stuff, but also like just social content around town.
Yeah, we had met in college because we became partners in a intro to studio lighting class. And so that's kind of where we started like working together.
Yes.
So it was almost like a natural, like we've worked together this entire time.
Literally from the moment we met, we worked together.
We've been working together. So great. It was like partners in this class.
Yeah.
And then it became the magazine, which, you know, she introduced me to. And so I got roped in.
Wait, pause. Hold on. What grade did you guys get in the class?
I
think we got A's.
We must have gotten A's.
I don't really remember, to be honest, but I'm pretty sure it was
an
A.
I'm pretty sure it was fine. Yeah.
I think it was kind of impossible not to get an A.
I know. Also, she really liked us. So
she loved us.
She loved us.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Are you sure it wasn't a B? A BFF?
Pretty sure.
No, it was A for awesome.
Yeah. It was A for amazing.
Jinx.
But yeah, I know, right? Yeah. And so we just like started working together, and then we worked in the magazine. And then like, you know how it goes when you're working for somebody else and you're like, man, I wish we had control over like what like, we want.
You don't want someone telling us what to do.
Yeah. And it's just like, it became like a joke for like 2 years working at the magazine where we were like, oh my gosh, what if we had our own business? And what if we could do this? And
LOL, that? How you know, funny would
how
that be?
How funny. And yeah. It just was an ongoing joke for 2 years. And then suddenly we were just like,
well, yeah. We were like, let's do some shoots on our own for yes. fun. So we did a couple like fun, like little fashion-y shoots. And then we were like, let's just email some local companies, yes. see if they'll give us product. We'll give them photos.
Great.
And we did. We emailed this ice cream company and
ice cream sandwich
they were
company.
Like, do you want ice cream? Also, do you want $500? And we were like, what?
Yes.
Yeah. We were like, that is
a lot of money.
Crazy. We were like, we better become a business because the IRS might come after us for this $500. So we're like, we don't know what is going to happen. We're like,
yeah, I remember holding that check and being like,
like $500 for 2 days of photo shoots and like
for 50 images.
50 images. That is, I can't believe we would make $500. So that kind of made us realize that we could make money. And so we started doing product photography. We never had a conversation about, oh, let's be product photographers. Let's do commercial work. Like we just started doing it.
Yeah.
And our roles naturally kind of like fell into place and we started our business. And then
it all just kind of happened naturally and organically. And yeah, I mean, it was just like even, I don't know, we are also very passionate about documenting our journey through our blog too. And I think that's also where a lot of things started picking up, like, you know, Pinterest started.
Well, because we were Googling. We're like, how do you start a photography business? Okay, how do you take photos that look like this? How do you do this kind of lighting? And there was like nothing out there.
Not really a whole lot.
That was helpful. So we started just figuring out ourselves and then like
sharing
it. Because we're like, somebody else probably wants to know this too.
Yeah.
So, and then we got connected with Adobe.
Yeah.
Through a friend, also a friend from college, Jasmine. And they asked us to host an Adobe Live. So I hosted our friend Anna, another photographer, and when we were hanging out with her was when we came up with the idea for the podcast. Because it took us like a year to actually start the podcast.
It took us a year to do anything. We talked about it for a year, but it was super natural. Like we were just talking about our freelance experiences, like especially with clients, you know, which aren't always like the greatest to like talk about. It's almost like shameful to talk about.
Sunshine and butterflies.
Yeah.
Just like... Yeah, it's like
it's the stuff people don't really share because really you kind of feel embarrassed.
Yeah, you
about
feel embarrassed that you
things.
Got taken advantage of, or that this happened, or that you did something wrong. And we were just like, oh my God, what if there was like an Alcoholics Anonymous, but like freelance instead? And
like,
we're
where
having
you share all the shameful stories.
Yeah. And so then, like, we were just like, okay, cool. Like, and then we talked about it for a year, and nothing happened until we finally got serious about like, okay, let's do some research.
Yeah,
you know, what do we need? Equipment wise, what do we need to do to get started? And then that's how it just happened.
And then it was born.
Then it was born.
And that was 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Gosh. We started everything like all at the same time. And we're like, we're doing too much. What are we doing? But somehow we're doing it.
I know. So yeah. That's how the podcast, and it's been great. I mean, I think it's just like a really good learning experience for everybody to kind of share and talk about these things. And I mean, it's been helpful for us, and I'm sure for other people to just feel like, okay, these aren't just, you know, unique experiences. Other people are going through this too. So
and to learn really from other people's mistakes. Yeah.
What's one of the like mistake or taken advantage of or cringe painful stories that you've shared that seemed to really resonate the most or became like the most commented on or most shared?
I mean, I feel like the very first, that one skincare brand, very well known. We're big on personal projects.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've always talked about. And so we had been doing a lot of personal projects when we were first getting started because, you know,
you don't
we
have,
didn't
any,
have
clients.
Any clients. So we had done a shoot for this skincare brand that we both love and use. It was really exciting when we posted the photos, and I remember we were sitting at a coffee shop, and suddenly they DM'd us.
We were drinking a $7 coffee.
We were drinking a $7
coffee.
And
we were so excited that a client DM'd us because we'd finally have money to buy more coffees.
To buy more coffees.
And when I saw their name like pop up in our DMs, which like that should have been a red flag. Why are you popping into my DMs? But I instantly like got emotional and I cried.
Yeah.
At the coffee shop being like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? And, you know, we ended up working with them and it wasn't really a work. They wanted and to do a test shoot.
A test shoot. And we told them that we didn't do that. We told them that we only worked for money.
I mean, you literally did a test shoot. You photographed their product as a personal project. If that's not a test shoot, I don't know what is.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So we said, no, like we only work for money. And I don't, I mean, I probably didn't phrase it like that. But yeah. And I told her like how much we would charge. And I said we would do a discount for the first shoot, all this stuff. And it was all over the phone and they agreed to it. They sent us the products. Mm-hmm. We did a shoot for them. And then I sent them the invoice.
And of course we over-delivered.
Of course we over-delivered and we didn't have a contract.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And because we trusted this company because they were a big, well-known, like you guys know who they are.
Yeah, like you're legit. You should.
Like they're sold in Sephora.
You're legit.
Yes, they're at Sephora. They're everywhere. They've been around for a long time. And they were so nice to us. Yeah,
clearly you're making money.
Like, I think so it was complimentary. Like $300 or something.
It was so small. It was so small. When I sent the invoice, they were like, oh, I think we had a misunderstanding. Like, this was for trade. And I was like, no, I think you had a misunderstanding. This is not for trade. Yeah. And they refused to pay it. They wouldn't pay.
Why are you not naming and shaming? This is so messed up.
Well, because we've...
Have you talked about it publicly or...
We haven't named them and we have name dropped other companies in the past and like it's turned into an issue. So
it just becomes a bigger thing.
We're just really...
Like, did anyone ever try to sue you guys? No, I get it.
Yeah, somebody threatened to sue us actually. So we don't name...
We're like...
And we had a lawyer tell us like, all right.
I mean, our podcast is pretty risque, so I feel like it makes sense to just, you know.
We get nervous.
I think we can share it among, you know, like
we can tell you guys
individually.
After.
Yeah. As far as like putting it out there, I mean, we don't ever want to defame or like, you know.
No.
Because that's and the whole thing.
It's also tough because like.
No, I mean, get it.
They've also have reached out to us again later on, like offering to hire us. And they didn't actually hire us later on. But it's also like. You never know who's going to leave a company and then other people might come in and like change the culture and like want to work with you. And if you have slammed them in the past, like, it's just hard to burn bridges. So,
You know, that's a really good point.
No, we totally get it.
I want to share everyone's names.
Yes.
We are careful not to from past experience, but also just because you don't know what the future holds. So anyway, have a contract.
It also could be like extenuating factors.
Yes.
I was just realizing this as I'm, you know, I've just gone from the freelance side to now the client side. Yeah. Like I'm seeing into what it looks like to be at a larger company where you're trying to fit in the culture, the budgets are out of your control, you know, you might be new, you might be out of your element. And I could just imagine, you know, this person that was supposed to be communicating with you, her job was to get everything for free. And she thought she was being clear and she actually wasn't. And she was like being pushed out of what she was supposed to do. And then she was so embarrassed that she just cut you off and ghosted you. And, you know, so it could actually not be part of the company culture at all.
It's
it could
possible.
Be interpersonal stuff.
Yeah,
that's
like
just way out of our purview.
And there really could have been a miscommunication. I mean, I feel like I was very clear over the phone, but there's no documentation, right? So, like, it's on me to have documentation, and it's on me to send a contract and get everything in writing. And unfortunately, like, that was kind of the time where we learned that lesson, where we have to do that. And
that
so
that really, like, just revolutionized our entire business and made us realize that, you know, we need to protect ourselves and we also need to have clear
communication. And it's not on the company to like that you're working with. It's not on the client to protect you. Like, it's on you to protect you. And if you don't, then like there's nothing you can do. So,
but it was definitely like a devastating experience.
Oh, it
like,
was so sad.
It felt very shitty to then like have this product that we like love and use. I mean, I still use them today.
I still do too. And I'm always mad.
And I'm always mad.
As you're putting it on your face, you're like, ugh.
Yeah,
I'm like,
this works so good, but I hate it so much.
Like, it's so annoying. But, you know, but it that's just, you know, that's what happens. That's how you learn and you make mistakes. And, you know, now we are so adamant to everybody that we talk to about making sure that you have all the things in place. Because
that's why we have a contract that we sell. Because we have had to add a lot of things to our contract. We've been through the ringer on a lot of projects. And so we're like, all right, let's help other people protect themselves and not have to go through what we went through. Yeah. So,
yeah,
exactly. I know we have a lot of extra clauses in our contracts as we've worked with more and more clients and partnerships. It's just like you learn a lot from every single encounter that you have. And as you're starting out, you can't know everything. No. You're going to make mistakes. But we hope that, you know, by listening, you'll learn some things that will save you for a few of those.
Yeah, we used to joke that after every client, we would add something to our contract.
Basically. It's pretty true.
We're like, all right, didn't know we needed that, but I guess we do. So in it goes. And in addition to that, we also learned that, like, if there's any phone communication to follow up with a written
email
document of documentation of what was discussed, because that has also saved us in the past from, you know, a client saying that they said one thing when they actually had another. And I can point back to the email of like, here's where you confirmed that this is what you said, you know?
And I honestly like try not to hop on the phone with a lot of people we're collaborating with, because I would rather everything just be in email so that we can report back to that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It also saves you from a lot of time.
Yes, so much time.
So do you guys still run everything yourself, or do you outsource things now? Do you have assistants? How does it work?
It's mostly just
we have an accountant because we have to.
Yes, not many people.
We cannot.
So you don't have the IRS knocking on your door?
Exactly, yes, for the $500.
We don't want to, you know, get audited.
We have an accountant. We have a copywriter that we outsource certain copywriting things to, our newsletter, some captions,
product
sales pages. Her name is Susie. She's the best. She actually just started a podcast called Everything is Copy. I'll plug her really quick because she's great. Woo-hoo. And then we are talking about like bringing on some other people to help us with certain things.
Yeah, we have like our studio, you know,
our studio rentals. Now that I live further away, we kind of want someone to help with that. Yeah. And but we do all of like weekend creative stuff pretty much ourselves, besides the copywriting and accounting, at least right now.
Yeah, we do have a podcast editor, which just saves my life.
Yeah.
It's great.
Same.
Oh, you gotta have a podcast editor. Like,
oh my gosh. I was doing it all myself,
you know, for the longest time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, it was really fun.
She didn't want to give it up.
I didn't want to give it up.
For a long time. I was like, Arabella, you do not have time for this. I was like, I'm stressed for you.
Even then, like, it still does take time to, like, go through and mark notes and, like, do whatever. But at least now it's, like, you know, someone else has to sit through and do
the actual editing.
Oh, my God. Tia and I are the opposite. We're, like, we're recording and we never want to see this again. So only ask us if it's an emergency.
Don't want to touch it.
I know. It was really weird for the longest time when I was, you know, doing the editing and everything. It's like, okay, I hear it once because we record it.
Yeah.
And then I hear it again because I'm editing.
Show notes.
Yeah. And then writing, you know, notes for our copywriter to write a summary. And then I listen to it again when it gets published. And I'm like, wow, I've heard this like three times now. But I feel like it's like less and less. Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, we really enjoy it. And it's just a fun way to connect with others too. And I think we made a lot of friends through the podcast, and we've been able to, you know, meet people we want to meet.
Yeah. Come on our podcast.
I mean, I got to make my first and only NFT because of one of our podcast guests. You know, it's like there's things I never would have done.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I still don't understand.
I know. I'm still like,
I don't get NFTs.
Oh, I didn't say I understand it. Okay. I just said I made it.
But that's like a step further than us. We're like, we've asked people, can you explain this to us? And they do. And we're still like, what?
And we're like, blockchain, what?
I don't know. Don't understand.
Yeah.
But someday, maybe.
Well, we have a really great episode for you a few back if you want to
listen. Okay. I should listen.
It's called What the Heck Are NFTs? And it's actually really cool. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay, that's great.
So what is a day in your life like now that it's the two of you? You do outsource some things, which is really helpful. I mean, we try to outsource a lot because I'm like, this will take me 10 hours and it could take you two.
Yep.
So what is a typical day like?
There's no typical day. I wish there was. Like, I want there to be like, this is what I do every day. But
it's so hard.
It's so hard with client work. I do more of like the pre-production and production side of things. So like the emails back and forth, the calls about planning the shoot, the actual planning, and then like the building of sets. And Arabella does the photography and post-production.
Yes.
So we tag team throughout that. Mm-hmm. I usually like show Arabella stuff, or sometimes we brainstorm ideas together. But for the most part, we kind of have those like separate roles. Yeah. And then in our business, it really depends. Like if we're working on educational content, we kind of both, depending on what it is, yeah, we both write for the weekend club that yeah, we have. We kind of like split up those mm-hmm things. Podcast is kind of more Arabella's mm-hmm thing.
Planning all that kind of stuff. But we do, like, we come together for a lot of the things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, for shoots, we come together. For if we're building courses or making courses, that's together.
We plan that together.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we do together. And then we have our separate things that we kind of like take over.
I think you have to have separate. We kind of realized that. We tried to do everything together in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, well, we can do a lot more if we also do things separately. Yeah. So we definitely found that that was like better for us. But yeah, there's not really a typical day because some days we're working on content. Some days we're working on shoot stuff. Some yeah days we're just doing like the business stuff, like bookkeeping or marketing mm-hmm stuff. So I wish it was more consistent, but it's just not. Yeah. And it is kind of fun that it's not.
And then we're both doing kind of rentals, like just yeah like a lot of components right now that we're like, okay.
We're juggling a lot of things.
It's like it's year lot five, and this is when you kind of like realize we need to also like have a better work-life balance.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of have to figure it all out. And I mean, that's how you learn, you know?
Yeah.
You, like, put yourself in
you
a situation.
You take on too much, and then you're like, this
burn
is too
out
much.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, this is a lot. I can't handle all this.
So then that's when you outsource, right? Yeah. Or you cut back on yeah things and decide what's really important based off of what your business goals are.
Yeah.
Which is why you have to have those goals to kind of
whether
like
whether they're financial
you
or what it, mm-hmm what is serving your purpose.
Yeah. What's your mission? Which we talked about actually at a freelance females conference.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That was a great yeah time. And that's actually available. You guys can listen to that talk on our
yeah
podcast.
On our
we
podcast
posted it mm-hmm a while right back.
You guys are so cute.
Oh. Thank you.
But you guys balance each other out so well, too, which is amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
I don't
we really
think we
do
could, like, work. I don't think I could be in business like no on my own
no
without Ellie. I need her structure and her like, you know, she's definitely like more of the leader like in the front. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm like pushing you.
Yeah.
I'm supporting you. But, you know, it's definitely like a good balance for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're also the one who's like, that's too much.
Yeah.
We can't do
or
that.
That's not.
I'm like, let's release 10 products this yeah year. And you're like, how about two?
Yes. Let's be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see a little bit of tea in my dynamic in that. I'm always mm-hmm like, okay, idea. We get a car sponsor. We do a coast-to-coast road trip.
Yes.
And we
yes
do co-working events every single day at every place along the road. And Tia's like, okay, so how about we do one?
Yeah. I'm like, that sounds exhausting, but fun. Yeah.
Wait, that sounds really fun.
That does sound really fun.
Can we join in on this yes car sponsorship co-working
yes
trip?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely a pit stop in California.
Yes.
Please.
Come to our studio.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That'd be so fun.
Honestly, we could start it like just Texas to California. That would be
honestly
plenty. We could do by like quadrants, you know, first southwest, then southeast.
That's
then
very realistic and very. Yes.
Except I wouldn't want to do the northeast. Well, we could just skip New York. We could do everything, but then
we've been there enough.
Then the Midwest though.
This girl, I can already see Tia like
Tia's like no
sweat trickling like oh.
Yeah, I'm like we're gonna, you know, bring this down a little bit. No, but that's the thing is like you have to start with the big ideas in your business and then you like
yeah
implement
yeah
them into smaller tasks.
Well, that's the thing. It's like both of us
yes
like get very excited about new projects. That's,
oh yeah,
that's very common. Like we're like yes, like this is amazing. But then, you know, sometimes we have to take a step back and be like, okay, what's realistic considering
yeah
what's already on our plate? And then it's like, okay, one thing at a time.
So I know you guys do, we're talking about like, you know, getting sponsors and partners and big ideas and projects. And I know what you guys do specializes in the content creation and the photography side of things. And you also do these product descriptions and stuff, but then you also coach, you have the podcast. Do you guys have like things that you pitch clients? Like you're like, I got this concept. It's a dragon and it's mini golf. And then there's the skincare product on the dragon. You know, do you do that kind of thing? Or is that just in my dreams?
Yeah. With commercial work we do, some clients have a very clear idea of like a very specific concept that they want you to execute, and then you just figure out how to execute it. And then some clients, they don't. So they are just like, here's the product, and you have to be like, okay, well, what are the goals? Because I need to start somewhere. I can't just like start with nothing. And then you like fully create the concepts and you show that to them, and then they approve or make changes. But yeah, it really depends on the client. I mean, there's both. Honestly, sometimes I prefer that they have a very specific concept that we just execute, because it just feels a little bit easier.
Yeah.
It's really hard to come up with new ideas all the time. It's fun, but it's also really hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just feel like, I don't have any new ideas. Like, I don't have anything to offer. So then it's like kind of a relief when they already have the ideas. And you're like, great, we just have to like plan it out.
Well, the ideas should definitely be like, you should charge for the idea, right? It's like,
oh yeah, we charge for art direction if we're doing that.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you found there's, you know, questions that you ask of your clients specifically to kind of get the most out of them for these shoots? So you really like set yourself up for success?
Yeah. So we start with an intake form. So like if somebody emails us, we don't know who they are, they have to answer all those questions. It's on our website, but they have to answer all of that for us to even figure out if it's a good fit. And if it's someone that we do recognize, a brand that we are like, oh, we know who that is, it's worth getting on the phone with them, I still ask them all those questions over the phone, because there are certain things that like, one, if like their time frame, if they need stuff next week and we can't do that, then I just tell them that right away. And it just eliminates wasted time. Or if they say like their budget is, I don't know, which is not even an option on our intake form anymore. But, you know, if someone says they don't know what their budget is, that usually means they don't have a budget, which means they don't have any money. Because if you have a significant amount of money to spend on a project, you know what that amount of money is, right? For the most part. Things like that, we can kind of like weed people out. They budget. Yeah. If you have $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 to spend, you know that you have $50,000 to spend.
Right.
So we kind of weed people out like that. And then once we're getting into the actual project, asking them like just a lot of questions about what like the goal is, what are they trying to communicate, right? Because photography is like you're communicating something. So what is it that they want the images to communicate? Where are they going to be used? Because it's different if they're on a website versus like printed out in a brochure.
Exactly.
I mean, there's just so many questions to like really dig at. And then asking them too, like what they don't want. Like, what do you not want to communicate? Yeah. So that we can kind of like eliminate all of that.
Yeah.
And then like all the details, like we ask about colors and
their brand.
Props and branding. If they have But really it's about telling a story, right?
Yeah.
So we want to get at like what is the actual story that they're trying to tell for their brand and their products or the specific campaign that they're doing or on their website or whatever, wherever the images are going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story?
Tia, this sounds so fun. Should we be photographers?
No, we should hire a freelance photographer, outsource it, and
There you go.
Outsource to us. We would work with you guys.
Yes, exactly.
I want to watch the whole process. It sounds so exciting.
Well, apparently there's a really cool studio.
Well, also, we have courses if you want to watch our whole process.
Yeah, literally.
Here you go.
I don't want to learn to be a photographer. I'm actually so bad at it. I have like an iPhone 12 Pro Max or whatever, and I still take a picture that makes me look like a goldfish that's like on the run.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. It's horrible. I was thinking about interacting with clients, and I'm just going to be perfectly blunt. I'm applying this to my life. Whatever you say, I'm going to apply it to my work.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Ooh, and now there's pressure.
You were talking about big ideas and how you actually like to take the direction. I'm the opposite. I have the huge idea. I mean, we were already talking about this. And I'm struggling to make my ideas seem like relevant and grounded enough with this client that I'm working with. And so I'm like, have you ever struggled to kind of like, have you ever had an idea you were super passionate about and they're just looking at you like you're literally pitching them that they just like set their money on fire and they're just like,
oh yeah, all the time. Yeah.
What tactics do you use to help people get on board with an idea without it feeling like you're just dragging them kicking and screaming?
I mean, we use a pitch deck. So it's like, it's a proposal basically where it's like, here is your company. Here's all the things that you've told me about your company and like what you're trying to communicate. And then here's how like that idea fits into that and like sketches and like a very concrete, they can actually see what it's going to look like. So sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. And at the end of the day, I think what I've had to learn is that like we have to do what the client wants at the end of the day. Even if they should be hiring us because we're the expert and like we have the knowledge to make their ideas or their like images better. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they think that they know best. And at the end of the day, it's their company, it's their photos. They're the ones who are paying for it. So our goal is to give them what they want and make them happy, even if we don't think. And I think it's okay to tell them like, here's why I don't think that this is the best idea, or here's why I made these choices. You have to be able to explain yourself. If you can't explain yourself, then like you're going to lose them immediately.
Yeah.
But
and those, the right kind of clients will understand.
Yeah.
And will, you know,
but at the end of the day,
work with you. You
sometimes
know,
they don't. Partner. And usually just those photos don't see the light of day on our site or anywhere that we would post.
Yep.
And that's, you know, and we just are like, well, at least we made some money.
Yeah.
It's hard because usually in those cases, the client still isn't happy a lot of times. And then you're just like, oh, if you had just listened to me, you would be happy. But maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they're just not happy people. And that's okay.
And that's why you get payment up front.
So I don't have great advice for you, except to like know how to defend your ideas and to like present them in the best way possible. And then that's kind of all you can do at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then let it go if they don't like it.
Yeah.
What's the point of killing yourself over trying to
then just do it as a personal project.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, I have one last question before we wrap. And that is, you both took a nice little vacation, which is very important for mental health and, you know, getting married, taking time off. But if somebody wanted to take a vacation in their business, what would you recommend them doing to set themselves up for success and, you know, notifying their clients and everything?
I think it is really important to have money in the bank.
Yes.
We always try to have like savings, a store of money, a few months set aside so that if you do take a break, you're not stressed.
Yeah.
And if you can have some passive income set up, that's also helpful. Not necessary, but it's definitely helpful.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think give your clients like plenty of notice. We told all of our like regular clients in advance and we gave them an opportunity. Like if you need us to like fit a shoot in before, here's like when we need to know. Here's,
which is great because then you can fit in some, you know, get some money before you're off for vacation.
So we're like, here's the timeline that we need. And then, you know, if you would rather shoot when we come back, here's like what we need before we leave. Like all of that just like gave them a lot of time. And then just having vacation responses on and like being okay if people email you and like you don't respond.
I think it's important to know that the work will be there when you come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can step away.
There's no such thing as a photography emergency.
Or design emergency or creative emergency.
There's no emergencies for the most part.
I use that quote all the time.
Yes. If there's a real emergency, they can call 911.
Yes.
And if it's not enough for them to call 911, it's not an emergency.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
You just have to know how to like step away. And I think it's going to be better for you in the long run because you'll come back refreshed. You'll feel like, okay, I'm ready to work again. I feel like I want to do things again.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all need that. We all need a break. And, you know, this is the first time where we have really like unplugged as far as like.
It's the first time I didn't check email or Instagram. Yeah. I like literally deleted both of those from my phone. I didn't bring my laptop. And I've always, when I've gone on vacation, at least still like checked in. Like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Who has emailed, you know?
Yeah.
Even if I didn't respond, I at least looked at it. And this time I didn't even look at it.
Yeah. It's just turned off.
And you know what? Everyone was okay.
Everyone was okay?
Nobody.
They all survived.
There was no issues. Everyone's fine.
No regrets. It was worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Where can everyone find the both of you, follow you, see you, download you?
Yeah, our website is weekend-creative.com. On Instagram, we're at weekendcreative. Our podcast is at per our last email. Our studio, if you're in San Jose or Bay Area, it's at Little Sunday Studio.
Yeah.
So that's where you can find all of us and all of our things. So
yeah, link in bio, has everything on all of those.
Yeah.
Many accounts. Yeah.
You can find everything there.
Thank you so, so much for this.
Yes.
Aww. You're welcome. Thank you for having us. We always love chatting with you guys.
I know.
You're wonderful.
Us too.
Thank you for always supporting your community and other freelancers. And so we appreciate that.
Yeah. And you guys can listen to Tia's episode with us. That was a while ago.
That was a while ago.
It was a great one.
Might need a redo.
We might need a redo. I feel like we do.
Awesome. Thank you all.
See you all soon.
Thank you so much for listening to For the Love of Freelance and being a part of our community. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and join us in our Facebook group at Freelancing Females and shop the freelance shop at thefreelance.shop.
Thanks to Janessa Clapp for editing and producing. You can reach us at hello@freelancingfemales.com. We'll see you next time.